recordings in beta, and we're live. How's it going, buddy? You always have to picture it to get in the thing. You got
to
be.
What show am I on now? Oh yeah, okay. I'm just changing.
Which
sets.
Podcast?
You know how it
which
is.
Of my many personas?
You know how it is, man. I'm just on so many of these shows these days.
I'm just waiting for the day that you call me and you're like, look, I'm sorry, I'm on too many podcasts. I'm just gonna
conflict
have to drop this one.
Conflict of interest.
Yeah. I have to narrow it down to my top three podcasts.
That's right.
And this is
that's right. From the 10, you're cut. I had to cut one, but it was you that was cut.
Or worse, that I'm not on my own podcast. That is like. We're still doing Marcus and Rami figuring things out, but just it's going to be Marcus and Dave or something.
It's a different Marcus. It's a different Marcus.
Who's really hard to cast.
He's a Northern Irish Marcus.
We found a better Marcus.
I don't want to rule it out just in case. I think the contract leaves
worst
that sort of gardening leave opportunity. I'm well, mate. I'm well. I'm... We're tracking. We have DEXs. We're CGM'd up. Boom. CGM'd. You know how it is.
Oh, you did put that quite low, didn't you?
Yeah, I put it way too low.
It's supposed to be up in your tricep, isn't it?
It's well, they say upper arm anywhere. The videos have this big circle. It could be anywhere. In hindsight, clearly. Oh, look. So for those following, I got a continuous glucose monitor. Went to the doctor, said, I need it. I've got this pre-diabetic thing. I don't want to pay $400. I just, the prescription, let's go. So insurance covers
it. How hard was it? Did they give you a tough time at the doctor?
Not in the slightest. So like, absolutely, we can do it, but only for like a month, just for insight and to understand where you're at and to compare it to your numbers and to make sure you're kind of, the other numbers we've got from the blood aren't too far off. So you just have it for a month. Here's a prescription, go to CVS, grab it, and away you go. You grab it, $50 kind of out of pocket. And then it sits on your counter for a week as you go, can I really put it in?
Were you nervous about it?
I was nervous, and there's an app, there's a FAF, and it's medical, it's an Abbott, and they all use the same one. No matter what app you end up using, they all start on the same baseline. Anyway, I faffed and then finally downloaded the app and went through and like, oh, the animation's in the video. It's way easier. Fine. And then just went for it. Now, I should have gone higher up in the arm. It's meant to go in your upper arm in the back. I should have gone higher up in the arm. I should have shaved
it's
it
on Rami's elbow, just for
it's
context.
It's basically on my elbow, and it's on like a hairy part of my elbow, and it's a sticker thing. It's essentially like a sticker with a needle in the middle, a filament, not a needle, so it's much thinner than a needle. And you just have this little applicator that kind of springs it into place so you don't even know. You're more shocked by the spring than you are the needle. You don't feel it, et cetera, except every time I bend my elbow, there's like, oh, is that still there? So
look, really, it's a little uncomfortable because you've got it right there, right there.
It's just
there.
I can feel something. It's like having a band-aid on the hairy part of your any. It's just the hair keeps pulling, right?
Yeah.
Completely. Nice. So in a panic, I just laid it on my elbow. Anyway, so I'm 3 days into tracking, obsessively tapping my phone to my elbow, which happens in meetings and people are like,
oh, you've got to do it. How long can it retain data? So he's got this little data logger. Let me tell everyone what's going on. You got this little data logger on your arm, and it retains, it's checking your blood glucose. It's near real-time blood glucose monitoring. It's something about it's like metabolized glucose as opposed to some other glucose. Like it's not like it's like it's a proxy.
Yeah, so it's a proxy. Right. Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you tap your phone on your arm every 8 hours and it syncs and the data transfers. And if you forget to do it, you lose data and all that stuff. But
only if you tapped it every
as if
hours.
You're doing so, it every 15 minutes.
I mean, mate, I'm doing it every time I put something in my mouth. Every time I'm finished, I put it at least tell me about at least 100 times a day. I'm just tapping it to get like as real time as possible. So it's an 8 hour window. It's 15 minute accuracy with a bunch of interpolation in between. But you can just kind of keep tapping to see what's latest. And it's worse, you have to tap one to get the scan and then go to the other app and go update, refresh, and then see that graph and see what it's telling. This is my new loop.
And it gives you why would you do this? So you're tracking insulin, you're tracking glucose, and you want to know if you're insulin resistant, and you're able to see the things that you do within a day at any time, how it reduces your insulin levels within your blood. Is that right?
It's one metric, it's glucose. And you essentially have a band of the target range between 70 and 140 of whatever depending on whatever the unit is, mdgl. And you know, previously I'd from based on blood tested my fasted glucose the first thing in the morning and the A1C kind of metric to give me a sense of where I am in this scale, and both of those were on the high end, if not borderline, and pushed into pre-diabetic. So the question was, okay, we'll retest those in a few months, but in the meantime, what's actually happening? what's it, you know, the annual
season? Yeah, what happens during the day? Like, this is like months apart.
Right, it's a 90-day average with the average blood glucose, which was right at the top end. It was just over 100 or at 100. And so the real question is, what's the story? And there's a bunch of data that says, look, for perfectly normal non-diabetic folks, who the numbers say they're non-diabetic, a third of them, they'll actually, if you look at it, they'll see spikes that go out of the range on a daily basis or a weekly basis and below the range. So hyper for above and hypo for below. And so there's just a bunch of scenarios where perfectly normal seeming numbers would actually tell you a lot of great things and kind of indicators what's going on. And so is the case is that I'll put it on and now I can see, okay, what are the things that are spiking? What are the things that are tanking? What affects it? And I can very predictably eat something and I'll know it's about to spike. And if I go for a run or a cycle, it'll very immediately tank it. And I'm starting to play around with my blood sugar level. And the game is there's kind of four metrics on here. There's like your average glucose, there's variability, there's oscillation, and there's peak or whatever, one of the other ones, or the fasting morning ones. And the game is to kind of better each one of those every day. And I'm just like literally playing around. So the intent, they say that, you know, you start off with it and it's meant to be 90% insight and 10% behavioral change. So you're spending most of the time trying to just understand. Mm-hmm. And then over time that shifts to actually it's just 10% insight and mostly you're doing it as behavior change. And it turns out, you measure something, you're going to want to game it, especially if
that's true.
I'm like borderline at 100 and my game is to get it below. I'm now 4 days in and I'm getting it closer to 90 in my average on a daily basis rather than 100.
Nice.
By doing whatever, my sleeps or... So then the question is, how do you even affect it? And there's four levers and four levers only. Sleep, food, exercise, and stress. Sleep, food, exercise, and stress. That's all there is. And, you know, aside from supplements. And so I'm already trying to sleep better because one of them, because it gives you this daily score and one of the metrics is how much sleep did you get and how much duration, how quality of sleep, and then also how much did you fast and blah, blah, blah. So in order to game the score, I'm trying to affect all the levers. And sure enough, I'm already trying to sleep longer and I'm going to sleep earlier and I'm fasting a little bit more. And I'm
how long do you sleep typically anyway? Are you an 8-hour person regularly or no?
Who the fuck gets
8 hours? No, I do. I get 8 hours every night. Yeah.
I can't, kids. I mean, not it's just... consistently one or both of the kids will get up in the middle, we'll jump to the bed, something will happen, we'll get out and I'm up for an hour in the middle. So look, I'm averaging maybe six and a half over the last few weeks, but I try to be in bed. Like the goal is to be in bed for 8. If I get above 7, I'm really happy. But it's like last night was 5.5. So I mean, that's pretty consistent.
I mean, I was in the hospital with one of my kids this week and I didn't sleep for 40 hours or something, but sleep's important generally, right?
It's beyond important. Everything else is a waste of time. So like the more we do the kind of fitness and the lifting and all that sort of stuff, the more you know that you can put as much into that and not sleep and then it's a fun game.
Do you think it's an addictive game? So you've got it for a month because that's what the insurance will do and all that. Like you'll get the insights. Do you think having it for a month will be enough to train you just to have a good instinct on it? Or do you see this as being something that if it was cheaper and easier to do, you would do full time?
Oh, if it was cheaper and I didn't notice it and all that sort of stuff, I would probably do it for longer. I think at this point, I don't know. We'll see how I get for a month. My suspicion is I'll know enough for a month and I'll know, first of all, like the high level scenarios, am I in one of those scenarios where it looks normal, blood numbers, but actually, so we'll have that confirmed. Already you can see I'm actually pretty normal and pretty reasonable. I can see how I can fix things and how to think about fixing things. Maybe you'll kind of sample it once in a while and kind of have it for a couple of weeks to see that things are happening. I would love it if it was as easy as step tracking on a watch because it is genuinely... Right.
We're going to talk about it in a bit, but we were hoping that the new Apple Watch Ultra 2 was going to have blood glucose monitoring. That would have been the only thing I would have upgraded to.
I kind of like that. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
anyway, so we're doing this thing and it's fun. It's fun. It's a real. And so I said food, obviously, you know, and it's obvious noticing things. Bunch of things that are obvious and things that you know are kind of academically, but until you see it, you're like, oh, I see. Where in the day I have my carbs, how it impacts the spike, the sequence I'm eating. So I've started experimenting with having salads before the protein. That stuff is very real.
Fiber first, they say that. Yeah.
All that stuff. And then there's the cortisol bit. So cortisol directly correlated with your kind of story.
How steep is the slope of the curve for stress? That's what I wonder. Like, I mean, if you're just, immediate.
Like kids having a tantrum in the middle of the public market.
straight up.
Immediate. Yeah. It is like I look back and I'll go, well, I didn't eat then. I didn't eat that. Oh, I know what happened. And I'll add notes and I'll be like, tantrum A, tantrum B. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Kara's like, you're not a stressy person. You're chill. I'm like, yes, how I respond to stress is one thing, but there's my
body
going
through
stress.
Still get this nice kick of cortisol.
Yeah, I'm still stressing. The kids are about to run into the street. So yeah, there's kind of a... It's fascinating, isn't it? Like we're down at the molecular,
there's a lot of room for improvement too, right? So you're double apping at the moment because the apps that you use don't integrate with anything. You have to log all your food in your food tracker, but also log it in this other app. You can't pull the data into Apple Health and all. Like it's just like, come on.
I was in Macrofactor logging my food after I just logged it in NutriSense, the app for this thing, as Tim Cook walks past.
We're down at your local store.
Having dinner in town. And all I could think was, like, if I had one of those dude with a signs, like, bring meal logging into Apple Health so I don't have to double log. Because everything else, the whole story is, like, your sleep and your exercise goes in Apple Health and Apple Health goes back out. It's an API-based. Yeah. All the apps log in and then they pull them out. So they're sharing data. Do the same for meals, man. Like I get it's kind of IP and the databases are IP, but the meal object, the meal API, just make that.
Sure.
Give me the
abstract the food and just keep the macros. Yeah.
Yeah. Just give me the core stuff. Anyway.
That sucks. I would find that super annoying. I also think there's the hardware restriction of having to tap it to your wrist. That's super annoying too. I
mean, that's the cheap insurance one. The good one, the Dexcom, which is the one that everyone's into, the Dexcom 7, is Bluetooth continuous.
Okay.
Minute based. You don't have to touch anything.
Boom.
All the ones that are on the older ones, and most of the apps all support this thing and the insurance or whatever, but the new gen, and like one of the levels is one of the apps, one of the options you have is Dexcom. Way more expensive and blah, 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 blah. Like if you're going to do it permanently, you'd for sure go for that. But for a 2 month stint and you're trying to just see.
It's like hearing aids, isn't it? With the giant battery that used to have, you know, the way that it was just like you had to have them at the back of your ears. And it's just, this stuff has to just be your own. We talked about it last week, but your own health tracking. Just, everyone's got to have one of those little things just clicked into you and just,
CT this morning to get to calcium score. So we'll find that out in a little while. What a fun machine that is. What a cool machine.
Is that your first CT?
No, it wasn't, but it felt like a brand new machine. You know, like you've been to old ones and they're beige and the old school. The new ones, like you want to be in them. They're like, it's a nightclub. Yeah. They're blue and purple LEDs and the thing works and the dude's talking to you. It's a minute and a half. It was just cool. Just cool.
I've been in so many CTs and MRIs at this stage, but it's usually bad news.
I can tell you which model it is.
I feel like 3,000. You basically got to spin in an ambulance with the siren on without there being an emergency. I feel like that's a cheat. Like you, usually when you're in one of those, you've got a concussion or you've done some serious damage to yourself, you know? So I feel,
This is preventative. This is the scare to see what's going on. Anyway, so we're doing health. We're doing stuff.
Yeah. Amazing. I want to talk to you about some of my books. So for this sabbatical, you know, I'm on sabbatical for 6 weeks, which ends on Tuesday.
We're all very sad for that.
I've bought like 12 books for the sabbatical. I've still only managed to read Outlive because I read it a second time. So I read it the first time and then I read it a second time this week. But I got a new book in. So I got Elon Musk, Walter Isaacson Elon Musk book arrived. I got it a day before release somehow. So I got it whenever I sent it to you. All the dirt on it. There's a lot of stuff in that book. So I haven't read it. This is just the Twitter summary.
There's drip feeds all over social. And I thought it was out for like in a while. And then you showed me the picture. I was like, hang on a minute. It's already, because it's drip feeds of
I got it early. I ordered it on Amazon. And it just came a day early by accident. Yeah. You know, the way that happens.
Who wrote the previous Elon book? Because I remember that you had that a while back.
Yeah.
Who wrote that one? I thought that was also Walter. So... While Marcus comes back, Walter Isaacson, the famed biography writer of Steve Jobs. That's all I know. Who else did he write? Marcus will tell us.
He's done loads of them, hasn't he? He's done like, what's his name? The guy from the Declaration of Independence, the oldest guy discovered the light bulb or whatever.
Edison. I feel like he's done some amazing.
He might have done Edison. He's done, what's that guy? Benjamin Franklin. He did Steve Jobs. He's done a lot. But That was Ashley Vance was the original, the person who wrote Elon Musk's original one, which I read, and I thought that was good. This one has got a lot more kind of dirt on his like childhood about like an emotionally and physically abusive dad and how that drives him, how that motivates him. The big dirt, though, I don't know if you heard about this one, was he openly talks about how he turned off Starlink. Have you heard this?
No, I saw some Starlink stuff to do with Ukraine asking for him to turn it on in Crimea, but then he's like, no, 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 I didn't not turn it on in Crimea. It was like an inverted proposition.
He basically admitted to, he discovered either through Starlink comms or the grapevine that Ukraine had planned a major attack on Russia's navy. That they had this huge planned attack, and he turned off Starlink to inhibit their ability to be able to execute on the attack. And the reason he gives for it is because he believed there would be nuclear war.
Yeah.
So now what you have is an unelected official who is playing God by turning comms on and off, so that one nation cannot attack another nation because he doesn't believe that it will end well.
So I remember this. So this, I think this came out in this last week. In this last week, I remember it came out and I stopped and I'm going, what the hell just happened? Hang on, I'm into a private company, but hang on, what the hell just happened? And then Walter Isaacson himself tweeted and he goes, hang on, clarification. It's very different from turning off Starlink to a region that had support versus not turning on to a region that didn't have support. So the story goes, and Musk then piled on and goes, thank you for the clarification, Walter. That's exactly right. And the story goes that something along the lines of the intent was to do an attack in Crimea and Starlink did not have coverage in Crimea and Ukraine asked for it to be added and he said no and then turned off something that had accidentally been added. And all in all, the T's and C's of using this thing is it's for civilian purposes, it's not for military purposes. Starlink is working on delivering a military something or somewhere else. So it was all a bit like supported by Walter, it kind of walked it back. But I don't know. It's still fishy, doesn't it? It's on the boundary.
On the boundary. It's sneaky, isn't it? I mean, it's a private company, but like, I mean, by the fact that they turned on Starlink at all for Ukraine is just being involved. Like that is, you are being, you're providing internet to a nation so that they can.
The fact he's in the conversation at all is just, it's disgusting,
hilarious,
it's outrageous and insane.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. All right. What else? You've only just started the book, is what you're saying.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm finishing Outlive. I've got 12 books on my bedside locker and I'm getting, because I've not read them and I'm getting stressed because you know what's coming out next month? Another book I've pre-ordered.
What's coming out?
It's called Going Infinite. Have you heard about it? Oh, it's the Sam Bankman-Fried book by Michael Lewis. So another great
Michael
author.
Lewis.
Another great author. Remember?
As it all happened. Oh shit!
Before any of this happened. So Michael Lewis, the writer of the
Big Short,
the Big Short, all of those financial novels, as well as he did one. Did he do? No, he didn't do Elizabeth Holmes. What was his one? He did a book on generalists recently, didn't he? His most recent book was like on generalists and how generalists prevail. And anyway, Michael Lewis, local here, he lives in Berkeley, was hanging out with Sam Bankman-Fried back when he was the golden boy and was creating this book on him. And then the shit hit the fan. And anyway, that one is going to be
phenomenal.
So I got to get through these books. This puts me under a lot of pressure I'm not going to get all 12, am I? But I got to get three or four of them done before that one comes out. So
also, I think the rule of the first 80% and ignore the last 20 is reasonable. Just do that.
True. But I'm not like that. I like, especially if it's an autobiography, I like reading the full thing, you know, like it's kind of top and tail. But Walter Isaacson doesn't do a short book now. So this is a good, you know, there's a couple of inches of Elon here. So
he doesn't do a short book. Jesus, mate.
Speaking of Elon. Yeah.
You EV'd during the week. You texted us and just went, wow. You had a picture of the Lucid and just went, wow, what happened?
We talked about Lucid on here and Lucid, just for disclaimer, Lucid have said that they're going to send me some swag, hats and t-shirts, etc. Because if we mention them on the podcast, my dad was talking to them. So dad was over. We went up to Walnut Creek. We just went shopping.
Right? Am I about to get a Lucid cap? Is that about to happen?
You're not getting anything. I didn't even mention you were on the podcast. I forgot. I forgot it was a two-person thing. I just gave them my size.
Wait a minute.
Size XL hat and a small t-shirt. That's what I'm getting.
No worries. Godspeed.
So we're in Walnut Creek, and there was a Lucid in this in the town square. And I said to Dad, guess how much it costs to make that car? And he was like, oh, 100K. And I was like, it's 500K per car right now in terms of how much it costs based on they made 10,000 last year or something.
Yeah.
And they're burning through billions of dollars. Easy. And then we walked up and I was like, come on, we'll go up and have a look at it. And we were looking around and it's luxurious. It's called a Air Sapphire, which is their equivalent of the S Plaid is what they had. So they're top of the line fastest one. It goes 0 to 60 in 1.89 seconds. It's the fastest EV. It's the fastest road car in the world. So I'm showing this to Dad and I'm showing him the you know, it's very luxurious and it's nice. And the guy goes, would you like to go for a spin? Jason says, the sales guy, do you want to go for a spin? I was like, oh, really? Yeah. I was like, yeah, absolutely. 5 minutes later, me and Dad are flaking it
in the hospital with whiplash.
Dad was legitimately speechless after it. Like I was too, because I've driven EVs, but this was like next level. We did it on like normal road. There's different settings like that, and then there's like sporty, and then he put it into like hyper mode or something. They've got this just like crazy fast mode, and we were coming onto the freeway, and we were just coming like just on the bend, and we just started to come around that bend. He goes, okay, now, you know, put your foot down. And I did it, and it literally, like, what's it like? It's like when you watch Star Wars and the lights go
warp speed. Warp speed.
It's
warp
like speed. Warp speed.
That's exactly like, right.
How warp is it speed. Legal? I was and I didn't even, I was like, whoa. And I was going 90 miles an hour coming onto the freeway. And I was like, and it's silent. And like, I don't know. It must be close to what it feels like to ride an F-150. Like it is literally, it's different than anything I've ever felt before. So anyway, we did that.
Warp
that
speed.
Was
warp speed. That's
so
exactly
much
the
fun.
It's like a rocket ship. It's warp speed. At that moment, you're like, I'm in something new. This is something fundamentally new.
And they've got something there. Their electronics are pretty like are amazing. They've got like a digital dash, but they've also got this thing like when you can kind of do things like you can swipe over and it goes over to the right, and then you push down and it comes down on this big screen down here, but the screen flips. Right. Like there's a lot more like it's not just a tablet in the middle like you get in a Tesla. Yeah. It's like, you know, you can do this kind of thing, and like the maps pop up in the small thing here, but if you want it down here, you can have a big map and then just turn by turn navigation. Like it's just really integrated, just feels premium. Yeah, you know, just
like Minority
really
Report
does.
In the UI of the car.
Yeah, it's a $150,000 car, right? But it does feel amazing, like, you know, super comfortable. So and that triggered space where, like, after that, Dad was like, that was really good. He's like, I don't like the Teslas, you know, that really felt like luxury. And I was like, well, the Teslas, you've only been in a 3. I was like, so we went down to the Tesla store in Walnut Creek, and we got into a Model X, and they're like, Joe, would you like a test drive? And of course, we'd love a test drive. And anyway, long story short, brought me down the rabbit hole. I'm doing my last EV test drive tomorrow, which is the Rivian. I'm doing a Rivian R1T, which is the truck, tomorrow in South San Francisco. And then I'll have had a good test of all of them to see what I'm not getting.
Did you have the yoke on the X?
I didn't test drive the X that day. Okay. I've scheduled it, but it's not. Okay. I haven't done it. But I've driven a few Teslas. Yeah. Teslas, I'm excited. You know, I don't know. They're just not new anymore. You know what I mean? I feel like they're just kind of. I'm super interested in like the peripheral stuff. Like I feel like the Tesla's the gold standard, right? It's you're very safe. You get a Tesla, it's a great car. But like, there's like some cool stuff on the outsides, and that's the stuff that I want to try out right now.
So, I'm totally with you. Yeah. But that thing. So I remember the first in the Y when I put the foot down in the performance. And that's to 3 seconds to get to 0-60 and feeling and seeing that warp speed and thinking, this can't be right. Like this, there's no way this is.
And it's a family car. That's like you've got child seats in the back. Yeah.
And then the X Plaid, when I tested it, it's a 2.3 to get to 0-60. And did that. I'm like, this can't be. I've got two child seats in the back. How does this work?
Yeah.
How is it legal? And why? And then I went down the rabbit hole of, at what point do you prioritize that feature when not that many people are doing that speed? You use it. It's like the best thing about a Tesla is that you can just say, I want to be there on a freeway, and you'll just be there. You don't have to worry about like pausing and waiting.
It does all the mapping and all that.
But like, you just in terms of
oh, you mean
like chalk?
Yeah,
You just I need to be there. So you just put yourself there in the freeway, and it's
directly proportional. It takes a while to get used to driving the cars that go that quick, because it's directly proportional to how much you push on the pedal. Like with a gas car, because, you know, we've all driven gas cars for years, but you're used to it that if it's a turbo, you have to put it down and it goes vroom, because it takes time to charge the turbo. So there's like a half second lag. If it, any other car, even if it is a bit linear, you push it, you know, you push it and you wait. Like there's always a slight wait. This is like, what it's basically a dial. Whatever you, wherever your foot is, you're going that speed. You just, like it's just like,
I'm going to be right. I'm just, immediately. Yeah, I'm going to place myself.
Yeah.
But just like if I think about the product, if I think about the product map and all the attributes of the car, of a car and a general car, and all the things they kind of they traded off, direct trade offs, classic kind of product thinking, and where they've gone. No, this acceleration and performance separately. We're going to dial them up to 100 because we can. And based on that alone, that's going to give you enough pull that you can turn down all these other dials, like internal luxury and range and
road noise or fit and finish or whatever.
All that other stuff, people will give all that up if they can get in this thing, put their foot down and go, wow. And that thing they will never do again, or they'll do once in a while when they have friends in there, or they'll do like when
it's just not safe.
It's not what you're doing.
Or
the
you'll get people who do it all the time and kill kids, and just it's just awful, right? So like, and you'll just get the jerks.
It's fascinating. It's a fascinating. The other thing that I've been spinning on is because we saw the Highland update where they've done the design refresh. And like Tesla's been this single car, single design thing with four models and Unify.
Yeah.
How do you maintain that when you've got these disparate markets you're trying to break into? China, Europe, US, and you've got the exact same design. So how did they decide that they needed to flatten and sharpen out the front and reduce the size of the headlights? Who are they competing against? Are they competing against Beamer designers? Are they competing against Jinping or NIO over in China? Do they look at the market and just go, this needs to look more like a NIO because they're the ones who are going to make our dollar? So like, how do you
Math? I don't think they do. I think I would say that Tesla is the outlier here and doesn't think like that. Like I would say Tesla's more similar to Apple in their design philosophy.
He's what we want to do. I mean, Tesla,
Cybertruck. I think he's a purist. Cybertruck, right? I think they're purists, and they make beautiful cars. And I think I actually really don't think that they've like done market segmentation. Knowing Elon, right? I bet they haven't.
But like Cybertruck, I mean, even the Cybertruck story that's coming out of that book is everyone hated it and everyone tried to convince him to do something else, and they had alternative designs going in, and he just put his foot down because whatever. But I think when you're down at I don't know, the chief designer, I'm with you. They're probably not doing marketing, but there has to be some thought to go, this is no longer fashionable and we want to be ahead of fashion so it doesn't look staid.
Well, it is aerodynamically more superior. Like it's significant. It's like 8% or 7% less drag efficient. So, I mean, that's significant. Like, you know,
design wise. Yeah.
I think it looks beautiful. Yeah. I think they've done a great job. Are you going to talk about FSD 12?
Well, I was about to say, the only other kind of EV thing in the last little while has been, and we missed it last week, is the FSD 12. So the full self-driving that's been in beta for over five years or something. No, it's been in beta for 3 years. And he's been charging increasing amounts from 5,000 to 7,000 to 12,000 to 15,000 for this future of full self-driving. Now, they call the basic lane kind of guidance autopilot, but it's not that. And you pay for enhanced stuff. But what they call city street driving, which is the thing that you can just, I want to go there and from A to B, end to end, hands off, full driving, on and off freeway, stop signs, lights, turns, everything. And they up-revved the big version from FSD 11 to FSD 12. And in order to celebrate this up-rev, Elon does a live 45-minute stream with his phone as he's behind the steering wheel, and he keeps turning his phone from portrait to landscape, and it's like gorgeously amateur and incredibly like irritating at the same time. And he does it from Tesla HQ through Stanford and back, and basically around our blocks. Like I go running past where he was at, and it was the day before I went for a run just through Stanford.
You and your neighbor name dropping. We're gonna have to do something about this.
But it was very you like that's my bloody roundabout. And 45 minutes where he just sets it and forgets it. And at one point in time, he's like, I'm going near Zuck's place, sure enough, like a few blocks that way. Let's just enter his address on here. So at one point, he was trying to dox Zuck because he wanted to go in there and wrestle him. but the significant bit is not the moronic Elon. The significant bit is the change in this from 11 to 12. It wasn't a small change. It was fundamental. It was a really, really big deal. Like, and even I kind of started getting excited and less skeptical about the general. And the shift was moving from like rules-based autopilot, rules-based driven self-driving, to AI-driven. So vision-only AI-based. So all of the video, all of the stuff they've been collecting over millions of cars that are collecting those cameras, all the cars that are out there that are sold are essentially data gatherers. And then how everyone drives in those conditions based on what the video is seeing. And then letting the models and this the world's largest supercomputer that is now valued at $500 billion extra to their enterprise value based on JP Morgan or whoever it was over the last couple of days, it train their AI to drive. And this is FSD 12. So for the first time, it's a shift from rules-based self-driving to pure AI vision self-driving that will just keep kind of improving on itself with more model and more inputs. And it worked better. And it's fundamentally kind of scarier in that it's happened in a way that no one else has been able to do because no one has that sort of compute power or let alone that sort of data. And I was kind of excited. It was because now you just apply
they've got infinite data. I mean, and they've got that data. So you know well when you train a model as well. When you add new capabilities, you train it on all the existing data you have. So before you push something live, so I think some of the things that I saw, some things that annoyed me on Twitter, where it was like, we're the guinea pigs on this new model. We're the ones like this. We're training this AI model. And it's like, actually, you're not. Like, you're
everyone else they're is training this. You.
It's already trained. So they've got so much video data and footage of how many cameras are on those cars, how many angles, how long have they been 12. Doing this FSD trial. Yeah. So it's like, they really are just pushing out like minor incremental changes. All of these models are being developed on existing data, which is why it's a moat, which is why they're, you know, no one can compete with that, right? You've got to have all that data in order to be able to risk something like saying, oh yeah, now this is an AI driven car, because it takes a long time to accumulate all that data. Waymo could probably do it, right?
Waymo themselves have been kind of trying to do it, but they have lots of rules in there, and they inject the kind of basic kind of DMV based kind of rule book in there, and they have to special case ducks and special case cyclers and special case all this stuff that they've been doing for years and years and years. But and Waymo doesn't have quite the same sort of data because they don't have a consumer
as many vehicles
car that's out there doing its thing by definition.
Yeah.
But it's a big shift. And then admittedly they're like downside. So I think you're still gonna have to special case stuff like stop signs. So you would have seen it in the video as well. There's the California roll. So it turns out that if you train it on what people do, what everyone does, then it'll do what everyone does. And only 30% of Californians stop at stop signs. Like it's a roll. So the car rolls, you know?
Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
It was interesting. Anyway, that was exciting.
For sure.
AI/EV crossover.
You can still get it on subscription. You don't have to pay the $12,000. Can you just do like $200 a month still or whatever?
Yeah, it's still $200. Okay. And the referral program right now, if someone buys a Tesla, by the way, if you're ever thinking about it, please use my referral code. They're giving great stuff. The more people that buy on your referral code, you'll get like 3 months worth. And then I saw someone who's got like 4 years worth of free subscription to FSD.
Do you have your referral code? And I'll put it on the screen now.
Oh, yeah. I'll give it to you.
Okay. Now. I'll put their code here. Boom.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, great. We did talk to our friend, Mr. Takamine, who said that it was terrifying and he was never going to turn it on again. Do you think we might be able to convince him to go back into FSD 12 now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Like the first time I did it with Bonnie, when Bonnie was like, oh yeah, I got this thing. They gave it to me because he's got the company car. He's like, oh, let's try it. And it was like both terrifying and amazing at the same time. It's like have you gotten in a cruise yet?
In a cruise?
Up in SF. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't. I wanted to do the driverless cars. Yeah, I have not.
It's definitely the first minute is, holy, I can't, no. Your brain is just,
You've done it.
Yeah, and in Waymo, like back in Google. And then it just, you ease into it. You're like, oh yeah, of course. This is actually more consistent than most drivers I've ever had. Like it's just a real,
I don't know.
There's a hump. There's definitely a
leap. Did you do it with your kids though? I feel like that's the line for me. Like you just do it yourself. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Right. Well, it is what it is. Are we going to talk about any other tech stuff today, this week? We had the Apple event, the September Apple event. Are we going to talk about it?
I mean, there's literally, we could talk about how there is nothing to talk about. It is the holy, you know, month of September where Apple does its yearly. For those who celebrate, it is the Apple.
For those, exactly. Yeah.
It is the Apple event. I mean, it was the epitome of hill climbing kind of micro incremental. We need to have it.
We knew that going into it, though. We knew that going into it. Like all the rumors said it was a non-event.
coming back off Vision Pro developer event, it was such a deflated balloon, wasn't it?
So let's go through it. They launched a new watch, the version 9. They launched the Ultra 2, which is the extreme. You know, I got the Ultra that came out last year, titanium watch. Nothing really special or new about that, except for gestures. Now you can do this. You can tap your thumb and finger together twice, and it will silence a notification or do an action. Or, you know, if your alarm's going off in the morning, if you wrist your watch and tap your fingers twice. I think that'll be valuable when you've got your Vision Pro headset on. We can see that being a thing. We know the finger control is like a thing, and they've just got these things on your wrist, and that's a really good way of being able to tell haptics, and like it makes sense. It's a non-feature for now. Yeah.
Well, I can see it if it becomes all the gestures, like, you know, from 10 years ago when there were these muscle-based wristbands that detect twisting, fingers, all the gestures. So you give me 3, 4, or 5 gestures and I'm twisting in the air and I'm changing volume.
Yeah.
If the Apple Watch suddenly became like a neuro device using all of that,
you've got
stuff
your headphone, your earphones in, double click and twist, and then it's louder, it's the next song or whatever.
Watch. Yeah. It's just a UI to everything else. Yeah. I bought in. But to launch an entire line on just that, just doing double, and they're like,
it's the beginning of more. That's all. It is. Yeah.
On the assumption that it is basically a whole gesture family and they've got this lens using the watch.
They're so careful about gestures, Remy, with the pinch to zoom and scroll. Like, I'm confident that this is just the next paradigm. But in terms of for the Ultra or for the watch, it's like snore.
For this version, it's a total snore. Yeah. That's right.
They brought out a new phone. So you got a titanium iPhone now
Four new phones.
Four new phones, whatever. They bought the 15, the 15 Plus, the 15 Pro, and the 15 Pro Plus. So they're all out now.
Plus.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Max, maybe it's Max.
The bigger one, the smaller one. Yeah.
The big one, yeah. You're not doing it. You're not getting an upgrade. You're on a 14, so you're not going to go for it.
How do you justify it? Literally, so the Pro, I mean, the Pro models, because they have the cameras and you've got kids, so you need cameras, and that's otherwise you don't love your kids. And
yeah.
The only way I can justify an upgrade is because the camera is slightly better in that it has maybe more megapixels, maybe some more photography kind of magic, and it goes from a 3 zoom to this new, like, awesome, admittedly awesome
6 zoom,
flat optics 5-6 zoom or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I can't justify even with a trade-in $500 for that.
I like the software. The software changes portrait, and there's no such thing. You don't have to do portrait. You have to don't decide who's in frame now. You can switch portrait modes. You can go to portrait after and pick who's in focus. And all that's great. That's all that, you know, it makes sense. I feel like that might be an iOS 17.
Just retrofit that. Yeah.
One of the things I didn't realize is iOS, iOS 17, there's a strategy going on there that we should talk about. iOS 17 is the first iPhone operating system that they're releasing. It's coming out this fall that will be available on all Apple devices. So all phones, if you've got a phone from 2018 onwards, you'll get the iOS update. Now, typically Apple supported, you know, 2 or 3 phones back when you would stop getting the updates, right? You would get, if you've got an iPhone 10 now, you stopped at whatever version of iOS supported the iPhone 10. And they used to use it as a strategy that you can't get the new features, the new capabilities on your phone. They also used to do it. It depends, you know, some people believe that they used to use upgrading their software to slow devices. Batteries got worse.
What do you mean? They got sued for it. They got sued. It was in the code.
It was in the code to make devices slower if you were an old device using a new OS. The new OS that they're bringing out 17 will be backward compatible to 2018 devices, which is
substantial.
It's a chunky. It's 5 years, right? So, there's a strategy there for sure in terms of bringing people up the funnel. I just don't know what it is yet.
right. Like, why doing this for a purpose? I just don't know why.
What's every other, well, they were trying to get people upgrade every other year, weren't they? It's a 24-month contract. It aligned nicely with phone plans here in America that you could buy phones from AT&T and Verizon over 2-year periods. It made them affordable. That's why Apple won against Microsoft when Microsoft didn't take Apple seriously because it didn't have a keyboard. You know, it was like, the BlackBerry's going to win, or the Microsoft phone will win. It was because Apple did better phone plans, phone deals, 24-month purchase period. It was doable. Now they're saying, if you've got a 5-year-old phone, you'll have the latest capabilities.
Why?
Right. Do you give them
the capabilities and show them how slow it is on those phones and kind of demonstrate the value and what they're
missing?
Well,
that's what they were doing before, is they would do that with the ones, they would purposely slow down phones to show you that it was a slow phone and an old phone.
Right.
Here's a wild theory. Yeah. Here's just, the phone is no longer their sales paradigm. They don't need people to, they would like people to upgrade frequently, but it's not the next frontier. They have a new frontier. They need everybody to be on the same phone, the same operating system in order to be able to sell something else. Obviously, it's going to be services is one thing. They got a massive ecosystem and services. No, but I'm just getting excited about the Vision Pro.
Yeah, you assume it's all Vision Pro.
No, but not all Vision Pro. Like that. So like this new haptics, this new hand control, this new, like they need a bunch of people to be on the platform to gather data, to do ML learning, to make it work. Yeah. So I'm like, have they decided to take a slight hit on, like, phone sales have kind of plateaued anyway, and is now the time to just say, okay, now it's a data play for the next paradigm, you know?
Everyone along, we need everyone to use this thing.
Right.
I mean, look, the standout feature from all of that whole thing, like watch tap aside, type blue spatial titanium video aside, the only thing that you go, oh, yeah, this is what we thought was going to happen. They were doing it, which is spatial video using the phone.
Boom. So and you heard it on this podcast here
you
first.
You heard it here first. Everyone was criticizing that video with the Vision Pro of the dad taking pictures of his family. And we're like, guys, what are you overreacting to, you idiots? Obviously, they're going to bring this to the phone because that's the natural thing to do. You want to make the ecosystem
They're going to have
work.
Two cameras on the right phone. On they'll cue, do 3D video. So for folks, they're going to use two of the lenses. So your eyes are the reason you can do depth perception with your eyes is because you've got, there are two of them. They're slightly further apart. Your brain does the magic. The phone does it too now. Instead of taking videos and photos with a single lens, they're going to enable two lenses so you can take 3D photos and videos.
That's great.
That was my big takeaway too. I was like, that's the number one thing to come out.
And also, you probably don't need the Vision Pro. It's going to be an AR in general for the phones. You're going to have 3D capture on the phones kind of going through the roof. Already iOS 17 is doing amazing 3D capture. I think the general 3D AR ecosystem on all devices, not just Vision Pro, I think is going to get a huge...
And the ray tracing is phenomenal. I don't know if you saw the ray tracing. Like, I mean, So from a software point of view, they're making some significant advancements. And I think... I just wonder what's the play. Where you know, we've talked about convergence of technology. We've talked about the next paradigm. And I just think that the phone is in everybody's pockets now. Get everyone on the same OS, train those models. And what are they bringing? I just can't wait to see what comes, you know?
I did catch up with someone. It turns out a friend of ours who I had no idea. I knew they worked at Apple, but I had no idea where they were, what they did. You know, Apple people, very secretive. She was working on the Vision Pro in like the launch and the whole thing, and was just going through the kind of labor of love of what it was. And specifically, she's in the ecosystem. In some part of it around working with a lot of different parts of the organization, and just... I was kind of espousing how incredible it is that a company can bring this sort of thing together. It must have been so hard to bring so many people. And she was right in the thick of bringing so many organizations and teams together.
Yeah.
And just she's like describing the, you know, just how hard it was and just, you know, the challenges and where they're going. You guys are amazing. You're crushing. And she's like, please tell us more. Because from the inside, it's tough. It's a slog, right? They've been doing it for years.
So the lead engineer on it's an ex AutoCADer. So shout out to AutoCAD. Shout out to Autodesk. Lead engineer, it's an incredible product to bring to market, right? I can't wait. It's coming next year. The good thing about the September event being boring and then bringing out a titanium iPhone is that we don't have to buy any of those things, so we can save our money for February and buy the Vision Pro, right? It'll just average it out.
It was decidedly boring. It was just such a non-event. It's not always this non-event. It was, even the bezel was like, what are you talking about, mate? However, there was
USB-C. Yeah, USB-C is the thing, right? And they launched the AirPods case, which is USB-C now. Everything's USB-C.
The cheek of the USB-C announcement, which is like...
Yeah, did you see it?
This was amazing.
It's become a standard.
It's become a standard, as if it's like this year. It's just happened just recently, and we're ahead of... And by the way, it's not just become a standard, but all of our devices have been using it for a long time. Like,
and we want to drive this change for sustainability reasons.
Which is it? Are you carbon neutral? I don't understand what's going on. Like, the famous infighting of all product decisions, like in tech, I reckon, is the USB-C story on iPhones and like holding off and sticking with their lightning cable.
And I'm super glad.
Most famous I'm super glad. But yeah, oh, come on. Just the pitch was cheeky.
The irony that there's going to be a bunch of Lightning to USB-C connectors. The dongle came out.
The dongle was straight out. It was like, thank you, Apple. Now you can have two dongles back to back and just have an extension cord. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. There was definitely like, did you see the Mother Nature sketch with what's her face? The Mother Nature sketch where they forced Tim Cook to act. Oh, there was a skit with a famous actress.
Did I skip through it? Was that one of the? Was that in the?
It was early. It was 5 minutes. Yeah. It was clearly the writer's strike was in force because that writing was not. You hope that writer would be able to do better.
I thought there'd be more. Yeah, that's right. I thought maybe a few freelance writers who were trying to earn a few bucks, but no.
It was the corporate video production crews finally doing this. Is our time. It's on. It's showtime. We've called in from the wings. We're going to write this hilarious skit with our CEO and like a great. Actors and it was a struggle to
didn't land.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Anyone to see?
Yeah. There's some dad vibes in that Tim Cook part. There's some dad vibes for sure, right? Like some dad awkwardness, right? Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of dad awkwardness, how's your driving coming along?
Well, I don't like the segue, but I'm glad you asked. It's great. It's great. I've had one lesson now, so I had a 15-minute intro lesson where I was like, I'm pretty good at this. Yeah. And then I had one yesterday and I suck at it. I suck at drums. There's definitely something to
He told you were great at drums. He told you you were
that was before I signed up for 3 months. That was at the trial. He's just like, he asked me, what kind of music do you like? And I was like, you know, I was telling him what I liked. And I was like, I definitely want to learn the Phil Collins, ba-doom, 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 ba-ba-ba-ba-doom, boom, boom. You know, the Something in the Air Tonight. Exactly. Yes, that's classic. The Cadbury's Gorilla ad. I was like, if you're going to do drum lessons for 3 months, you got to be able to play that. Well, we started on it immediately. And I was like, I thought we would do some basics first.
I want this
to be
a goal.
No. So now I've learned the first half of that drum for that. So, you know, it's just learning it in pieces. And it's like, drums are really frustrating because, you know it's supposed to be your leg and not your hand. Like you're doing different things with different, like you've got four things
brains.
Doing things independently.
Multi-brain.
And you know it's, you go, I'm going to do that, two of those, and then one leg. And you go that and two of those and then that again. And you're like, you know, it's just, But it's weird because you can definitely feel it. I feel like I'm rewiring. Like I know it's definitely one of those things that I'm not getting it from any other part of my, like, weightlifting or running or work or anything like this is definitely like a dexterity thing. I feel like I'm glad I didn't like get, because I'm an intermediate guitar player, I'm glad I didn't get like guitar lessons to try and make that better. It's a new instrument and it's a new and
steep,
I just feel like
learning curve.
Massive gains,
part
of the you know the outlive strategy. It definitely feels like I'm doing like a different part of my health stuff is like cognitive like changing, rewiring and making, you know, dexterity and so it's cool. It's very cool. When you come here you can play them. They're fun as well. Like drums are fun. You know, they're so loud. I've got some silent digital ones, but you put the headphones on, it's like, yes, it's great. It's great.
Awesome, mate. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I can't wait. I can't wait to jam it out.
I wanted to talk to you about this thing I'm doing here with this journal, actually, which is it being one of the four things. So I got this thing called I'm a journaler, right? You've made fun about me.
You've been a huge, huge fan of journaling. Me too.
You've always made...
Don't do it. Big fan of it. Just don't do it. Huge fan.
You know, I've been doing morning pages for, I don't know, a couple of years now where I wake up in the morning and I write a couple of pages. It's like, it's from the book, The Artist's Way. You're supposed to just write and it helps you resolve some stuff in your head and you get creative ideas or not or whatever. So I've been doing morning pages for ages. I got a couple of journals of them. But this is a goal setting. It's called the Phoenix Journal and it's a 12-week goal setting journal where you do a little bit of morning pages. You do a little bit of gratitude in the evenings, the things that you're happy about. But you set like four main goals to achieve in your life. And I've got they give examples, but I've done like one on work and career, one on health, one on finances and money, and one on relationships. Like I want to make more mates and the mates that I have retain those friendships and reach out to them.
More podcasts, money retention. Is this a retention strategy?
You're, FTO is part of it, buddy. You're one of the mates I want to retain. There we go. Retention. But it's a super journal, and it's and it breaks it down. You kind of set your it's basically PM for your goals. Like, it's for people who've never done OKRs before, but they
this
don't
is
call
OKR in your life. I was literally about to say this sounds like an OKR meeting.
And 100%. They call it different things. You do do your 1 year vision, then you do your 12 week vision, then you do your key actions, then you do your tactical targets and all. But it's really, because you don't do it on your own life. That's the weird thing. We have this skill set, but you, well, I don't know if you do, but I don't do it on my own life.
I've had spits and spurts where I've tried to. I think my issue is not the process, not the mechanics. It's the what should they be to begin with, right? It's the you identify the top four, and then.
But it's like, only 12 weeks. It's only 12 weeks.
What's so you can the 12 say, weeks? What 12, do you achieve in 12 weeks, or 12 weeks?
Yeah.
The process to get to what the goals are.
It's no, 12 weeks to achieve something. 12 weeks to achieve something. Like, so, I've got like one that I'm happy to share is like. Achieve less than 20% body fat. That's one of the ones I want to have, less than 20% body fat in 12 weeks time. What are the key actions with that? How will I measure my goal? What sacrifices do I need to make? How will my life improve when I achieve the goal? What are my milestones weekly over the 12 weeks? How will I reward myself? So like lots of like chocolate. Just, you know, you're.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway,
time horizon, stuff you want to achieve. And is it saying you should be doing four things, or is it just saying whatever they are?
Saying you can do one minimum, four maximum. I'm doing four
max. Okay, there is a max. I like the idea of four max. Yeah. I like the idea of maximum. Because then it's like, no, you've got to be able to focus 12 weeks. I like it. I like the idea. I also enjoy it as a tech podcast that you're doing this all on pencil and paper or pen and paper or whatever.
Yeah. 100%.
Very tech forward.
No, I have an iPad. I do write in an iPad at work, but you pen and paper always at work as well. Like,
feel it.
Yeah. Same. Feel it and remember it. And
memory.
There's something about memory. I mean, memory, yeah. But like you actually remember the texture of the paper. You remember what leaf you wrote it on. Like, you know, writing
where
digital,
you wrote it on the page.
You remember if the leaf is turned up. You remember, so it's a thing. You can picture it on the page, and that's just
note-taking, hand note-taking, documented, proven scientifically, better retention than note-taking.
So if folks are looking for a way to set goals, don't really know how to do it, don't know what we just talked about with OKRs, objectives and key results, or if it's like you want to just a good diary to help maybe set a goal for yourself, definitely recommend it. Phoenix Journal. It's like $20, $22 on Amazon. And it's a 12-week program. It talks you through each thing, how to frame it, how to do it. I've been doing it for 4 weeks now, and it's brilliant. I'm really enjoying it. So
affiliate link,
good to
affiliate
go.
Link?
No, affiliate link here. It'll be on the screen. It's going to be brilliant.
Are they going to review? Did they send it? Did you favor the product? Did you pay for it?
I did pay for it. I bought it. I didn't hear anything you said there because that kicked in SIRI for some reason when I said the word affiliate link. So I didn't hear what you said after that.
Effing SIRI. Oh, speaking of predictions, you were pretty off, weren't you, about your AI ML infused Siri iPhone 15.
They said Siri, because they have the neural net stuff on the phone now, they have more neural net faster. On the phone and on the watch. It's faster. Because it's on your, because it's personalized and it's local, you can now use SIRI to query your personal health data. So it is much better. It's much more personal. So you can ask it things like, anything you have, what's my heart rate 10 minutes ago? Yeah. Exactly. Anything about your health data. What do I weigh today? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Fine.
Incremental step. Tiny steps.
ML. It is ML. Yeah. It is local to the device.
The
it is
they
not.
The word AI.
Yeah, and it is not, it's not LLM specifically, which is what I said it would be, but we're getting there, we're coming to a point where Siri works.
Inching.
Damn it, I said the word.
And did SIRI respond? Didn't hear you, thank God.
No, thank God. Thank God. Only hears when God. I talk about affiliate links.
Oh, mate. Well, this journaling thing sounds amazing. Goals. Relations, fitness, okay, got it. Is part of your measurement just a daily DEXA scan? Is that a plan? 50 bucks a day for a DEXA.
I will get another DEXA soon, just to see how we're doing. But yeah, at the end of the 12 weeks, I'll do the DEXA and see if they do it or not.
Good. So good, mate. This is great.
Yeah.
Good fun, isn't it? Good fun.
It is. It is. The summer of fitness for the two lads. That's what this has been.
2023. Yeah. Lock it in.
2023, the year we got super fit forever. Forever.
That's the key question.
Right?
This is the best we'll ever be.